So the first thing they teach you in journalism school is don't be the story. And I don't plan to break that rule today or distract from a fantastic finals. But I also don't want to let this moment pass without saying how much I respect, how much I value our colleagues here at ESPN, how deeply, deeply sorry I am for disappointing those I hurt, particularly Maria Taylor, and how grateful I am to be part of this outstanding team.
Well, Rachel, I want to say thank you. Thank you for accepting responsibility for your actions. You know, as someone that has known you for a long time, you know, being around you, you have treated me with the utmost respect, and you always made me feel comfortable in your presence. And I know your heart, you know, great person, great individual. I also know Maria Taylor, great person as well, very, very talented, hardworking, and I feel like she also deserves every opportunity that is presented her way. My only hope is that we have a commitment overall to support each other through this process and continue to support each other through our journey.
No, I agree with Perk. Let me first say this. I fully support Maria Taylor. I've worked with her since I joined ESPN at Get Up and Countdown, and I've known Rachel for 20 years. Rachel and our entire group here have had some very difficult conversations over this time period, and those conversations don't end here. We will continue to have uncomfortable conversations. No one is excused. She is not excused. I am not excused, Perk. This doesn't just go away, but we have to learn and understand it and become better for each other, and really through our actions more than anything, and that is our responsibility, and we all have a role in that, and that's something that I take pride in, and I hold to myself and everyone to a very high standard.
Well, thank you guys both for being with me here today. Thank you, everyone out there, for being with us here today. Just below us is Media Day here at the NBA Finals. The Suns and Bucks getting ready to address what is one of the biggest moments of so many players' careers. We will have all of the sound, all of the action for you. Welcome to The Jump.
One, through that part.
We are indeed live from Phoenix, Arizona, the site of NBA Finals Media Day. It's also where Game 1 of the Finals will be played tomorrow between the Suns and Bucks. Welcome to The Jump. I am indeed Rachel Nichols, joined by a couple of our NBA champs, Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson. Do you think people get the two of you confused?
No? Most of the time.
Okay, just checking. We will have full coverage of NBA Media Day. We're going to talk all about this matchup. We might have some special guests joining us, but first I do want to talk about this series. According to Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill, the Suns opened as slight favorites to win this series. They're also listed as the favorites in Game 1 tomorrow specifically. So, Richard, you who very bravely, when the Suns were up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals, put yourself out there and picked Phoenix. Do you agree with them being listed as the favorites in the series?
Yeah, but see, you gotta give the context. I didn't just think that they were going to win the series. At that moment, I said that the Phoenix Suns were going to win it all. They're going to win the championship. Now, for the first time ever, Perk and I are going to agree on how they're going to go about it. But the difference between Perk and I is that I won't waver and I won't change as the series progresses. I believe the Suns are going to win this in six.
Well, I don't waver and I don't change. I stick to what I believe in. But look, you were just in Vegas. And this is how much I believe in the Phoenix Suns. I wish you would have told me before we got on the show that you went to Vegas, you know, yesterday and had a good time.
Yeah.
Because I would have told you to bet my house on it. That's how much faith I have in the Phoenix Suns right
now.
Yeah, for the simple fact that they're not lacking at anything, right? When you look at their depth, they have, you know, awesome backcourt in Devin Booker and Chris Paul. They have shooting. They have a defensive identity. They have a young star in DeAndre Ayton that anchors the defense and who's everything that you want in the center position. And then when you look at their bench, Cameron Payne, Cam Johnson, Cyrus, they have a lot of depth. They play with a sense of urgency on the defensive end. They play a gender-free basketball. And when I'm watching this Suns team and looking at them having to go against the Milwaukee Bucks, who you said plenty of times, right, Richard, that they're one of the dumbest teams in the NBA?
I never said it publicly, but thank you for telling everyone
that.
I appreciate
whatever,
that.
I mean, you know, hey, whatever. But they are. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you're looking at the Phoenix Suns, Rachel, and they have one of the highest IQs in the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. And so they make you pay for having dumb mistakes.
Well, look, I'm going to go on record saying that I don't agree with either of you about the Bucks, so we can say that. They made it to the NBA Finals with Giannis Antetokounmpo hurt. I think you got to give them credit for that.
Shout out Chris Middleton.
Because Kevin Durant's feet are too big, but we'll talk about that another time.
But also, certainly the Suns are coming into this as the favorites, and one of the reasons is the man you are about to hear from. We're going to go down to the floor where Media Day is happening. Our Dave McMenamin is with DeAndre Ayton.
All right, wonderful. Thanks, guys. DeAndre, 22-year-old kid from the Bahamas, what's the significance to make the finals at this stage of your career?
I'd say one word, consistency. You know, coming out the bubble, I finally learned the true meaning of professionalism, and I just stuck with it. You know, it's the thing that's leading the wins, and why not? And, you know, it came with the whole team sticking together and just being on each other and doing the right thing.
No one's questioning your professionalism. We've seen it throughout these playoffs. But you also have fun with the game and with all the entrapments around the game. Tell me about those dance moves that you showed off on the court after Game 6 in L.A.
It's a TikTok dance my sister showed me, and I just was just doing the same thing she showed. It was something popular, and, you know, I just was having fun just getting in my vibe, getting in the mode, and, you know, just embracing the moment.
Dedder, you said that Chris Paul is the best thing that's happened to your career. How has his influence not just affected you, but your entire Suns team this year?
Just the way how we approach the game, period. The dude doesn't stop. He's consistent on how he just, you know, just became CP. And, you know, it's something us young guys, we pick up on, and we respect him at a high, high level. And, you know, he respects us the same. And, you know, just to get the same respect and in the locker room, off the court, and a dude like him, who's a Hall of Famer, just, you know, doing what he does and for who he is, it's, you know, it's something you can't really talk about. It's just, you feel like a Michael Jordan or, you know, like LeBron James on the court with you, and to see him every day, you just start to pick it up. It just starts to pick up.
So DeAndre, Hillcrest Prep, right, in Arizona, University of Arizona Wildcats, like our jump producer Danny Corrales, shout out to Danny, and now you're a Phoenix Sun. What's it been like to have this journey here and to have the fans here see your basketball life play out in front of them?
Being here since I was 16, high school, college, now the league, it's actually insane. I'm used to Phoenix, but I was never used to being at the top level while being in Phoenix. And, you know, to see the fans give us this much love and support, you know, it just wants you to keep going. You know, you want to put on a show for your people and, you know, just to get the city wild and just, you know, just love us. And, you know, the position we're at today, we're here to really leave a stamp and just, you know, put our heads down and keep working.
It's been a wonderful run so far. We have to end on a serious note here. We don't know what's going to happen on the other side of the ball with the Milwaukee Bucks and their health and availability, but you could be facing a two-time MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo. How do you prep for that?
Mainly just matching his physicality and just at the end of the day, just competing. You cannot back down from the challenge. Just knowing his foul awareness, being the first man on defense and just showing him a wall. You know, at the end of the day, you want to stay between him and the ball scores, and just being ready for the challenge, period.
You'll be like a kid on Christmas Eve tonight. It'll be tough to sleep. But game one tomorrow. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, boss.
You got it.
Lovely. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, DeAndre. What did you guys like about what you heard there?
I mean, his maturity level, his growth. You know, you can always tell a guy that has a high IQ, the way that he talks about the game of basketball. You could tell DeAndre Ayton is growing. Mm-hmm. You could tell he's a student of the game now, and he takes his craft more seriously.
Yeah, no, well, I think it takes time. You have to grow. And ultimately, you have to absorb stuff. And I think he had been doing that over a time period. Mm-hmm. And then when you add Chris Paul to that mix, it's like, oh, no. This is not about you figuring it out. This is about me showing you the way. And sometimes coaches will allow a player to figure it out and give him the time on the court. But I think now he's starting to see that confidence. You're starting to see him, you know, see what's going on. Even then, taking on that challenge of Giannis. Well, this guy was a number one pick, right? And there were other people there. You had the Luka, you had the Trae Young, but here you have the Phoenix Suns with the number one pick about to play in the NBA Finals.
What I love is how much he realizes the factors that have come into play in his career. career. He's still in his early 20s. I mean, it's hard to sometimes remember that. And he is very open about the fact that when Monty became the coach here, that Monty said to him, you're not working hard enough, right? Monty has that expression, I'm not calling you out, I'm calling you up. And he said, I'm calling you up. I think you can work harder. I think you can do better. And that changed the amount of time he spent in the gym, the way he approached playing basketball. And then, of course, Chris Paul coming here, as DeAndre says, he yells at me every day. But he also added that Chris Paul coming here has changed the course of his career. He says it's one of the favorite guys he's ever played with. And I think that openness on DeAndre's part to feedback and to be willing to learn from two men like Chris Paul and Monty Williams, I just think it speaks volumes about him, because we see sometimes young players who don't want to be told anything, and here is a guy who has taken in the expertise of the people around him, and he's in the NBA Finals because of it.
You can't be coddled to greatness. Nope. So all these parents, all these coaches that want to coddle, you know, their great players, and they don't want to push them. It's like, well, you're not helping them become great.
Right.
And there's one thing that I think everyone on this panel and everyone in the NBA knows: Chris Paul does not coddle.
Yes.
Chris Paul does not coddle.
Well,
so.
Speaking of Chris Paul, he was just speaking, and he talked a little bit about why things just feel different in the NBA Finals. Take a listen.
It's different. Obviously, I haven't practiced here, not at the practice facility, but it's still basketball. I think we all locked into, you know, the goal at hand. And not much. Just, I don't know. It's weird. No games being on. I usually watch games every day, so that's probably the part that sucks. That's probably the part that sucks the most. But I'd rather be playing than not. But other than that, just life.
Pretty fun to see someone who you know has spent 16 years waiting for this moment, have it wash over him, that he is here. What does it say about Chris Paul that he has finally broken through the thing that everyone, Kendrick, held him accountable for? Well, you know, he's never reached the finals.
Well, it says a lot. And I go back to what I said last week about it's not what you do, it's how you do it, and the journey he chose to do it in for us reaching the finals. We all know at the age of 36, he could have chose to sit down with Sam Presti, negotiate a buyout, whatever the case may be, and could have went to a contender, probably picked somewhere like the Lakers or Miami or Milwaukee. But he chose to come to Phoenix with a young core that has zero playoff experience and come here and lead them. That's what makes it so special. And I get it. People could talk about the injuries to the Lakers, Jamal Murray being out, whatever the case may be.
What about the injuries to Chris Paul?
Yeah, right. But
the shoulder,
absolutely,
COVID,
the wrist. But he came in, he embraced these young guys. These young guys followed his lead, and look where they at right now. So at the end of the day, I want to go back to a lot of people take the regular season for granted. They were the number two seed. Mm-hmm. So they put themselves in a position to be where they at right now.
Yeah, and that's why they have home court advantage. Like all of these people want to talk about, oh, well, what is, you know, the Phoenix Suns and their journey. But even the Chris Paul, I really don't think that Chris Paul, his situation changes by getting to the finals. I think if he wins the championship, then I think it will be held in a different regard. But I'm proud of him. I'm excited for him. I went to the finals my first and second year and then didn't go again till my 15th year. So there was a 13-year gap between me going to NBA Finals. Shut up. Between me going to the finals. But part of that is because you got to put the work and you got to be persistent.
Richard, you've been to 4 NBA Finals.
Yes. Yes.
Kirk, how many for you?
5.
Just saying.
Yeah,
It's
all good, though.
We've got more to come from
him. Both got one win, so technically you're less successful than me.
What? How?
Percentage-wise. He's 1 for 5. I'm 1 for 4.
Oh, my. All right, we're here at NBA Finals Media Day. These gentlemen were just, I think, bragging about your numerous finals appearances.
Yeah, not a record in finals. Me and Perk are combined 2 for 9 in the finals.
But you got here. What do you guys remember from Media Days? Because especially for the younger guys like Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, who've never been through it before, it's a gauntlet, right?
Yeah, it's just not the Media Day. It's the finals, right? You have to have that fine line of balancing the two and saying, I want to embrace the finals, embrace the moment, but I'm still here to actually win the basketball games.
Yeah.
Because so much of media attention.
Well, and once you get there, you see that it's different. You're
right.
Like, oh,
right.
This is different. This isn't a normal. There's like a whole setup. But the crazy thing for me is we played the Lakers first.
Right.
Now, Laker Media Day.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then the next year we played San Antonio. And I was like, wait.
Wait, where'd everyone go?
This is it? So that was what I remember from back to back years.
Right, man.
It's the truth. Laker Media Day is different.
I know.
Yeah.
We are live from NBA Finals Media Day here at Phoenix Suns Arena. This is, of course, also where Game 1 of the NBA Finals takes place tomorrow. Welcome back to The Jump. Rachel Nichols, joined by Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, who's bothered to wear a tie today. Thank you, Kendrick. I appreciate that.
I mean, you know, some of us, we're just professional.
Richard's had a little problem with his clothes the last 24 hours, so don't be surprised if you see him in the same outfit tomorrow.
I got nothing to say.
The first time. Let's discuss Luka Doncic, Team Slovenia, securing an Olympic berth. It's the first time ever. It happened over the weekend. Doncic posted 31 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists in his win over Lithuania. Here is Luka after the game discussing the importance of winning a gold medal for his country. Take a listen.
Luka, what would mean more to you, a gold medal with the Team Slovenia or NBA championship with the men?
I would say gold medal with Slovenia. It's you play for your country, and that's something that really, really. But I wouldn't mind both.
They would take him out of the boxing.
Richard.
I just had, look, no, I 100% agree, you know, with Luka. It is more important. Like here in the U.S., we are taught, like just culturally, state championship, national championship, and NBA championship. You know, the gold medal is something that's like kind of out of like a kid's basketball dream, where for Luka in a much smaller country in European basketball, like that would mean a whole different thing for him. So like, I'm not going to disrespect like his feelings towards representing his country.
Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, you could see the joy just not only in his face, but in his teammates' face. Like, it's a family, right? Mm-hmm. And this is his country. You know, obviously, he's probably running the country right now, right? Yeah. I mean, he's so iconic. But at the end of the day, I still need that same energy when he come back to the United States with the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying that it's
No. I think it's, you know, look, I get the reporter's question. International athletes have been asked that over and over, in part because in those countries there is such a high emphasis played on playing for your national team. There doesn't only have to be one, right? It doesn't have to be this is more important than this. They could both just be really important to him. When you watch Luka Doncic out on the floor, I have never once watched him play a game and think, oh, he doesn't really care. Right. No, he cares about winning an NBA title. He's talked about it over and over, and he really cares about this. And I think that's exciting for basketball fans that he gives that same energy to both. Devin Booker has been at the podium, so we want to check in on him. And he's talking a little bit about what the importance is to the city of Phoenix of having these Suns in the NBA Finals. Take a listen.
I mean, I think it's the baby here. You know, it's the only professional team that has Phoenix in it. Every other team's Arizona, so Phoenix Suns is the baby franchise here, and they love it with a passion. And, you know, I'm wearing the shirt from 93 right now. I think it started around that time to when, you know, they developed that. You hear people talk about, I remember when I watched Charles and them. Like, you hear those stories at all times, and seeing the passion in their eyes when they're telling the stories, and even being at the bottom of the barrel for the past 5 years and them still showing up and showing love, you know, shows that same type of love that they have for this team.
That's pretty cool. And Richard, part of what you talked about when we were here for the Western Conference Finals is you grew up in Arizona. Mm-hmm. You went to the University of Arizona. We're going to go visit later today your high school, right?
Are you excited about that, Perk?
Well,
this is what I want to
say. So you know. You can speak to this.
Let me echo everything that he said. In 1993, I was 13 years old, and I was watching that team, and I would go out to the park, and I would do all of those things that you would see. Kevin Johnson and Charles Barkley and Dan Marley.
I would try and
do do. At that point in time, I was probably still more athletic than some of them. But like when you talk about the connection to the town, like my son, my youngest son is named Phoenix, right? So it's like there is a serious connection to this town, to this team. And so it makes it even more special. And I'm so glad that Devin Booker has been a part of this journey from bad to the mountaintop. And if they can get over that mountaintop, this is a great place to be a champion.
Well, you know what? I'm just proud of Devin Booker, mm-hmm. right? And you just spoke the gospel for once. But I'm proud of Devin Booker for just sticking with it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's never come out publicly and asked for a trade. And there's been a lot of down times throughout his short career, right? His short NBA career. And I think, you know, the way he stuck with it, the way he just kept grinding and not cheating the process was what I respect about him. And he's a guy that's going to continue to get better. He gets better every single year. He's one of the most prolific scorers in the game today. I'm a guy that's big on efficiency. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Devin Booker from a two-guard aspect, I mean, the way that he scores the ball and he's scoring at a clip of 48 or 50% from the field, mm-hmm. is fun to watch. But his maturity level, again, watching him lead, watching him speak at the podium, how he's just his growth at a young age is something beautiful to see.
And it's interesting because in the NBA, the feeling has always been you don't get to the NBA Finals on your first time through that gauntlet of the playoffs if you're one of the key players. And even as a franchise, right? I mean, we talked with Michael Jordan. Everyone saw in The Last Dance that feeling of the Bulls had to get past the Detroit Pistons. And it took a few reps at it. With you guys, Perk, there was definitely the feeling that LeBron James had to get past that Celtics dynasty and that loss that he had to you guys where we all saw him walk off the floor and take his jersey off right before he ended up going to Miami. The feeling is your first time through, you don't get all the way to the mountaintop. Well, guess what? These guys got to the mountaintop, and Devin Booker has showed such poise through that whole process, and it's what his coach, Monty Williams, preaches. But to see him be able to do that has been so impressive. All right, coming up, guys, we're going to get into the Bucks side of things. We're going to discuss Giannis's status. We should talk about how Milwaukee will prepare for Game 1. Not sure of Giannis's status. A little live coverage from NBA Finals Media Day here in Phoenix. Keep us locked. The Jump is at Finals Media Day here in Phoenix. Finals game not been played here, gentlemen, since 1993. It has been a long road to Game 1 tomorrow night. Welcome indeed back to the show. I'm joined by Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, and guys, the Bucks also, it's been a long road. They are in the finals for the first time since 1974. As of right now, we don't know if two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo will be ready to play in Game 1. Perk, how should the Bucks prepare for the finals with the health of their best player in question?
Well, I think they got to continue to play that they're playing right now. The team that we saw in Game 5 and Game 6 of last series, player movement, ball movement, getting others involved. I thought Jrue Holiday and Khris Middleton did an excellent job of being aggressive. But being aggressive to attack to get their own buckets, but when it was there, making plays for others. Having Brook Lopez around the paint area, right, where he belongs. He's acting like Shaq right now, trying to dunk everything and snatching the screws out the rim. Bobby Portis, his impact on the game, along with Forbes coming in off the bench, they're going to have to get it done collectively. But overall, this is a different group that they're going against in this Phoenix Suns team. They have perimeter defense. This is a team that load up boxes and elbows. This is a team that is great at helping the helper. And, I mean, they're tied on the string defensively. So, ball movement, player movement is going to be huge if the Bucks stand a chance against this Phoenix Suns team.
No, I completely agree with Perk, which is starting to get more and more frustrating.
Hey, I'm very confused here today.
Yeah, I know. He says duh, but those are the words. That's normally what I hear coming out of his mouth every time he talks. But no. I'm going to say this. It's very eerie how similar these teams are when Giannis isn't playing. So you have a backcourt in Jrue Holiday and Khris Middleton, mm-hmm. right? Very similar to Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Then you have a big that can be dominant in Brook Lopez, very similar to what you have in DeAndre Ayton. Now, obviously, they're different, but when you look at their strong points of all of both teams, it's going to be matchup. Like, it's all about matchups. You got to win your matchup, and the bench has to outplay the Phoenix Suns bench. But the approach for Milwaukee is going to be very similar for the Suns. You got to have balance. You got to get a lot of people involved. You got to involve your bigs, and then you're going to need big players to step up in big moments. And I think
that's what's going to be needed for both of these teams because they are so similar.
Right. Yeah. And look, the official injury with Giannis, what the Bucks are listing him as, is a hyperextended left knee. Now, we had Chris Bosh on the show last week. He said he had that same injury. He would not expect Giannis to come back in these playoffs at all. But on the other hand, the Bucks for the last couple of games have listed him as doubtful, at least for the last game they did. Now, I don't know if that's gamesmanship or if there really was possibly a chance that he could have made it back out onto the court. We don't know how they're going to list him pregame tomorrow. But look, we all know how competitive Giannis Antetokounmpo is. We know that he has been, since he won his first MVP, he said, you can't really call me an MVP until I win a title. Mm-hmm. That he knows the importance of winning in the NBA. And for him not to be able to just automatically be there out on that floor with them today, it just must be so difficult.
And his left leg is his takeoff leg. Just understand that. That's a little different when it's your dominant, all those euros, all that long. When you're doing those euros, your knee's not as stable. So that's something that how he plays can also contribute to how quickly he can come back.
And it's a balance too, though, right? Because, Kendrick, we remember Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals 2 years ago where – I think Kevin was putting pressure on himself to play in addition to any outside pressure. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant wants to be there for his team. He wants to show up. He has always shown up for his teams. We know that. So he, like any athlete at that level, wanted to give it a go, and we know what happens. So I'm sure there's a little bit of trepidation there with Giannis. On the one hand, it's the NBA Finals. Giannis has worked his mm-hmm. whole life mm-hmm. to get here, but you don't want him injuring something else. Right? And then possibly being out for an entire year next year, the way we saw with Kevin Durant, it's very difficult.
And that's a great point. And I always say, I tell this to people time and time again, that it's hard to win an NBA championship, but don't take for granted getting to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't never know if you'll ever get back there in your career, playing on the biggest stage, being able to be a part of, the whole ABC experience, the media experience, the whole, driving from the hotel when you're on the road with the security, like all that matters. Mm-hmm. And I think, you don't want to take it for granted because you just never know what's the possibility of you getting back to them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, we're going to have to wait and see what happens with Giannis. I do want to discuss what's still going on with the Atlanta Hawks, though. Coming up, guys, the Hawks have reached a deal with Nate McMillan. Trae Young says the Hawks will be back in the Eastern Conference Finals to boot. We will discuss both of those things and more right next on The Jump. Welcome back to Phoenix, Arizona, site of Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Guys, your first NBA Finals experience. I always try to remind players that national anthem takes a long time. What do you remember from Game 1?
Well, with me, is I was part of the Celtics and Lakers Finals, so
sure.
It was one of the greatest. Yeah, one of the greatest rivalries in sports history. I remember everything about it. It was golden.
Yeah, well, I also was a part of the Lakers three-peat, so that was a lot of fun.
From the other end.
You know what it was?
We got to go over the top.
No, shut up. We were the team that didn't expect to be there. We were picked to finish second to last, and we made it to the finals, so it was the journey.
You got there.
That moment is really big in Game 1. That's what I always tell players. That moment's big. Just expect it to be big, and you'll feel. Milwaukee Bucks guard Drew Holiday joining us now. Welcome to The Jump, Drew. So glad to have you with us. It's your first trip to the NBA Finals. It's your 12th season in the NBA, though. So how would you describe what this means to you to finally get to this point you've been working for so long?
It's a blessing, man. It's something that I think I said earlier, every kid dreams about, just being able to get to this point and just having the opportunity to be here and fight for a ring, fight for that trophy. This is what I came to Milwaukee for.
It's absolutely amazing. I mean, the fact that you have put so much time in, have been such an asset to so many teams. And the Bucks, they went after you. They made a big trade to get you on their team. It has paid off. Why has Milwaukee been such a good fit for you?
Just the whole organization from top to bottom has been family oriented, and if anybody knows me, that's how I am. But most of all, man, it's about basketball. We don't have any extra stuff. We don't have any drama. It's about winning, and that's why we're at this point.
What's up, Drew? It's your boy Perk. Hey, look, I'm happy for you, man. I'm proud of you. I know, I've been calling you out a lot throughout the playoffs, right? Because the reason being, I picked the Bucks to come out of the East, and I figured you were the guy to move the needle. Giannis went out and then you elevated your game, you started being more aggressive, what changed for you?
I just thought it was a need, you know? Giannis does so much for us. He attacks the basket, gets into the paint, gets fouls. He makes plays out of it too. And defensively, he does so much for us as well. So I felt like somebody needed to step up, and I figured that should be me. I kept on hearing my vet tell me to step up, so I had to do what I had to do.
Well, I appreciate you, Drew. Thank you.
Drew, I want to talk about some of your defensive assignments. You know, in the first round, you had Jimmy Butler. In the second round, you were chasing around Kyrie. In the finals, it's Trae Young. And now you're rewarded with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. How do you approach these defensive assignments and knowing that these are great players, as are you, that they're going to score, they're going to have big nights, but just the same approach every single night?
One is just relying on my teammates. Obviously, nobody could do it by themselves. These are the best scorers in the world. And to be able to do it by yourself is virtually impossible. So relying on my teammates, Brooke, Giannis, Chris back there, we always got Big Tuck. So they helped me out so much. And then honestly, just being able to have confidence in myself. Just know that guys are going to go out there and they're going to have big games. But at the same time, I could do the same thing on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, Drew, it's just been so spectacular watching you shine, seeing so many people watch you defend these guys and how you are able to just go right at them on their level. It is one of the reasons that you have been named to the USA basketball team. It is a really tight turnaround, though, from the end of the finals to the start of the Olympics in Tokyo. We're on this crazy condensed schedule due to COVID. What concerns do you have about going straight from the NBA finals all the way to the other side of the world?
If you want to be completely honest, I haven't thought about it. Right now is the finals.
That is fair, my friend.
Right now is the finals.
That's smart.
I'm focused on being here. We got Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. We got some business to take care of here before we go overseas.
That is completely fair. We appreciate that. We appreciate you spending time with us here, Drew. Best of luck to you and to your entire family. I know you're going to have some of them in the building over the next few games, and we can't wait to see you all flourish.
Man, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Drew. All right.
Thanks so much, Drew. We got Milwaukee Bucks forward PJ Tucker joining the Jump now. PJ, you have literally played basketball all over the world. Yeah. What does it mean to you to finally get the opportunity to play in the NBA Finals? And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It means everything. This is something you dream about as a kid. I know for me, like every year, watching the finals is so special. So to finally be able to get a chance to do it, it's amazing, especially to come back here in Phoenix and do it too.
Yeah, just amazing. We're throwing up your resume here, all the teams that you have played for. And you were traded from the Rockets to the Bucks. It was back in March. So what is it about the chemistry on this team that has worked so well? Because sometimes when it's a mid-season trade, it really takes another sort of off-season and year for all the pieces to fit. How did you guys fit together so well right away, PJ?
I credit our front office. They just got a bunch of guys together that that really fit. You know, when I was looking to leave Houston, with the options I had, Milwaukee was right at the top. I thought I fit a long time ago. You know, just watching. You know, when you watch other teams, you see other teams you think you could play for. It looked just like it was, you know, kind of picture made for me. So once we all got together, I think we all just kind of looked at each other like, we got it. Like, this is it. This is our shot. And we just kind of built on it throughout the rest of the season and, you know, been building on it since.
Well, PJ, look, I'm proud of you, man. This big perk here, like being a former role player, I watch you do all the winning things that don't show up in the stat sheet but make the winning plays. I wanted to ask you a question about you like joining the Bucks for us, being that big brother, right? We knew what you were going to bring on the court, but I want to talk about your leadership and how impactful it's been in that locker room, because I heard so many stories about it.
Hey, before I say Perk, I just want to say Perk was the first person I told I was going to the Bucks. I was shooting at Houston and he was going to kick his son up.
I told Perk first.
And Perk said, Perk, you remember what you said to me? You was like, woo, that might be it right there. That might be it. He said that might be it. So I just wanted to tell you that, Perk. But that is that's one of my main jobs on our team, I think, for me, is to make everybody stay focused every night, to be there, to help guy Giannis. Like when we go through tough times where we have situations where, you know, you get in those, in these arenas, you know how it goes. You can't hear nothing. You know, the other team making every shot. It's like everybody stay calm. We got this. Let's stick to what we do. Just being that voice, just knowing that we're going to be there to fight every single night, every single second. You know, that's probably the biggest part of my job, is being able to do that every single night and to keep everybody together.
All right, I got two questions, one basketball and one more kind of aligned with what you're doing. One, I want to know, what is it like being the underdog? You know, and I know that that's always kind of been your mantra. Like, you approach that, you know, I see you jawing with Kevin Durant. It don't matter if he's going for 30, 35. You're going to keep it going. And then secondly, playing against you in 2017, I saw you come out there with some red Yeezys on. I want to know what shoes that you are going to debut. I know everyone's looking for it. And also, I want to know how I can get some of those PJ Tuckers that I saw debuted on your IG.
The first one, honestly, man, is just knowing the game. Some of these guys, you know, the guys, the top scorers in the league, they're going to get 30, 40. It's just making it tough on them and how many shots you can make them take to get it. Just making them work for it every single night is the biggest part. And you know, with the kicks, man, I don't know. Honestly, dog, they ain't even been on my stage. Like, I thought I would get to this moment. That's always been like, when I get there, I know I'm going to do this. Like, honestly, I could care less. It don't even matter. Whatever's on my feet, long as they can move and I got some grip and they light enough, like, I'm good. Like, I really don't even care what I wear. Honestly, I'm so happy to be here. I just want to play. The shoes are the last thing on my mind.
Okay. Well, shout out. We're watching you with Nick DiPaolo there on our screen. PJ, you are facing a question mark about whether Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be able to play with you guys. What is that like for you to prepare and not know if he's going to be able to be out on the court with you? And if he can't go, how do you guys make sure that you are just as competitive without him?
We do the same way we always have. You know, last two games we played in the Atlanta series, he didn't play, and we prepared the same way, and we're going to prepare the same way right now. You know, it's still up in the air, so we don't know, but we'll do the exact same things we always do. Everybody's well-versed on, you know, whether he plays, whether he doesn't, what we're going to do, our adjustments, and it's going to be what it's going to be, you know?
Well, you could tell us. You could just tell the three of us if you think he's going to play or not. I mean, you know, I don't think that'd be giving anything away on national TV.
Tell Perk first.
Rage. That's above. Hey, tell Perk. Hey, listen, that's above my pay grade. I don't know anything
thing,
about that.
PJ, one thing, if you tell me, you know I ain't going to say a word about it. Look, hey, tell my boy,
one
Vin
thing
Bates.
I know about you, Perk.
I'm going to keep it inside. Hey, tell my boy, Vin Baker, my OG that raised me, my vet. I said, what's up?
There you go.
PJ, that's my dog, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. You are so much fun to watch out on the court. We cannot wait to see you bring that energy to the NBA Finals tomorrow night. Congratulations after so long, such a long and dedicated path where you have worked so hard to earn this spot. We can't wait to watch you work tomorrow.
I appreciate it, Rage. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Thank you so much, PJ.
Don't you wish you had them relationships?
I do, just not with PJ Tucker.
I do want to get to this Hawks conversation, though, because GM's Travis Schlenk said today that they have, in fact, removed the interim tag from Nate McMillan's title, making him Atlanta's new head coach. Woj reporting it's a 4-year deal coming on the heels of Atlanta's impressive second half surge and deep playoff run. Take a look at the numbers before and after Nate McMillan took over. So now they've got their coach back, and you heard Trey say he thinks that the Hawks will be back. We heard him after the game. He's saying he thinks they're going back to the Eastern Conference Finals, could get to the Finals. Perk, what is your reaction first? Let's talk about Atlanta committing to Nate.
Well, the Indiana Pacers are rolling over in their grave. But look, the Hawks should be committed to to Navy Miller. He's a hell of a coach. What we saw him do towards the end of the season, have all those guys buy in. Young guys at that. Trey Young started taking less shot attempts and getting others involved. You watch John Collins elevate his game and play within the system. Cam Reddish, those guys that came in, Herder, all those guys played together. And you can tell when the team is well coached by the way they play on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, and this was the right move. I think this was the obvious move. I think, you know, Nate McMillan did a good job of, hey, I'm not going to sign this contract till it's over, because yep. There was a lot of teams that would have that had an interest in him. But I'm going to say this to Trae Young, and I think Perk will agree with this. If you want to get back to the Eastern Conference, shut up, then you have to be better than you were this year. You have to keep improving. All of your guys have to get back into the lab and bring something new to their game. You have to add something to your game. I believe you guys can win a championship. I believe you guys can get back to the Eastern Conference. But if you go there with the same type of effort, the same type of mentality, other teams are coming.
Well, I love the energy they brought to the playoffs. We'll keep talking about all of this over the next couple days. The Jump is thrilled to be here at the finals with you. We'll see you tomorrow.